Ball hit deep into left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be paping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome back to the Shoeless Goat Podcast. We're a Cubs, White Sox, and MLB podcast. I'm your host, Nick. I'm joined again, two wins greater, by the mayor of Section 509, Patrick Bovar. Pat, how we doing?
Feels great, Nick. You know, coming into this week, I said, you know, if we go winless again, I'm going to lose my mind. But two wins, that's enough to change the tides. You know, obviously being 8-13 isn't great. But hey, you know, I'm much happier to be being able to talk about not just one win, but two on this. So got to take the little things at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, we are in May, and the Cubs have a half-game lead on the White Sox right now. How does that feel? How does that sound?
It doesn't sound great. When you put it that way, it doesn't sound great. It probably would have sounded better if it was still 2 weeks ago when both teams were in first. That would have sounded better then. But, you know, after a 1-10 stretch for the Sox, it does not sound good.
Does not at all. But in any case, we'll get right into it because we have a pretty exciting week coming up, obviously. We got Cubs versus White Sox, two games. We'll get into that later. But let's start like we always do. Let's do a weekly recap. I think I went first last time, Pat, so it's up to you. How did the White Sox do?
I'll go first. They did, you know, like I said, much better than last week, an infinite amount more wins. They went 2-4, which obviously isn't great, but, you know, when you're coming off an 0-6 week, you can't really get any better, or it can't get worse than that, so it got a little bit better. Basically, first series was against the Royals. They lost that series 1-2 overall. Lost the first game 6-0, which is one I was at, which is your classic freezing cold April game. It's like 30-some degrees, super windy. I was just wearing a hoodie like a moron. Main reason I went was because last year when I had tickets to a freezing cold April weeknight game and everybody I asked to go with me turned me down, Carlos Rodon threw a no-hitter. Which, to be fair, Dallas Keuchel did have through about three innings of that game despite walking about five people. Unfortunately, didn't hold up. They lost 6-0, and it was really ugly. But, still was at a baseball game, which I'll still take at this point. They won the Wednesday game 7-3, which was a big win. Cease had nine strikeouts. Andrew Vaughn had a big three-run homer to give him a big lead. Jake Berger had a home run. Kendall Graveman had a pretty dominant two-inning save. Overall, a good day. And then Thursday, they lost 2-5 in 10 innings, so that rare three-run extra inning loss. Basically, how it went down was they were losing 2-0. Leury finally hit a home run to do something. On one of the more exciting plays of the game, Josh Harrison scored on a sacrifice fly from A.J. Pollock. I don't know if you saw the video I tweeted, but Andrew Benintendi basically had a noodle arm throw from shallow left that did not make it to the infield dirt on a fly.
Yes, I did see awful. That. It was really bad. I thought the wind was blowing in such a way where you looked it off the bat. It's like, oh, that's going to be the warning track. That's an easy score. And you just kept seeing Benintendi going forward more and more and more. I was like, oh, he's not even going to try it now. And he did. And it worked out.
It was awful. I mean, I could have thrown it better, which I didn't know he had that bad of an arm. But yeah, that was wild. That was one of the worst throws I think I've ever seen in a game. Like that was not like a slip, a missed throw. Like that was like the rivals that Joe Adell airmail from opening weekend.
And this is coming from two guys who have seen Juan Pierre play in their home park. I'm just saying.
And Scott Pesetnik for me, but you know, yeah. It was rough. In any event, yeah, they lost in extras. Aaron Bummer was rough again. He struck out two, walked two, and gave up a dinky single. That was a ground error, gave up the runs. Just were not able to really get through it. In general, you know, continued the trend of struggling against the Central. They're like 1-8 now against Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City, which is obviously not ideal because they should be beating up on those teams, but it is what it is at this point. If your offense can't hit right-handers and they don't walk, and two of your starting pitchers struggle basically every time out, you're not going to win a lot of games. But in any event, we moved to the second series against the Angels where they also lost. Well, the series isn't over. I guess there's a Monday game as well. We're recording Sunday night. Lost Friday night 5-1, which was a pretty bad game. I was at that one as well. And the highlights for me were seeing Shohei Ohtani hit a home run off Giolito in the first inning. Tim Anderson hitting a leadoff double for the Sox and then coming around to score, and then the Sox not getting a hit for six innings, and watching Bennett Souza enter the game to Love Sosa as his intro music. Like, those were the highlights for me, which, you know, Friday night game at the ballpark is not what you want to see if you're paying to go see a game in the rain. But in any event, lost that one. Saturday, they finally had a good game. Tim Anderson led off the game with a home run for the White Sox, giving him his 15th career leadoff homer. Luis Robert finally got going with a three-run homer after that. Pollock and Harrison both also had multi-hit games there, their first hits in a very long time. And Vince Velasquez went 5 2/3, struck out six, no earned, and he struck out Trout and Ohtani in the fourth back-to-back. So he had a pretty good game, which is, you know, really what you want to see out of that guy vying for the fifth spot with Cueto coming up. Sunday, unfortunately, they almost got Maddoxed by Michael Lorenzen. Got into the ninth. They were down 6-0 after Keuchel had another pretty rough start with five more walks. Got it close. Bases loaded, 6-5. Abreu got hit by a pitch to bring in the fifth, and then Sheets grounded out to end it at 6-5. So a disappointing end, but at least you got the offense going. All in all, though, not a great week at 2-4, but it's a lot better than 0-6. That's my expert analysis on the week.
I just keep going back to our expectations at the beginning of the season, and to hear you say, thank God we won two games, is just, it's
feels like 2019.
It feels like 2019. And here's the thing, right? Like, I'm kind of torn, right? Cause there is nothing funnier right now than White Sox Twitter to me. Cause everybody is fixing this team in their own way, but it's going to get ugly in June or July if this continues. And part of me, I've got the shoulder angels, and the little devil is like, how funny would this be? You know,
I mean, at this point, it's like, I don't know. We talked about it last week. Obviously it's frustrating. I'm not happy, but like, I can't lose my, now we're in May, I guess technically it's May 1st. So we're getting closer to that point, but I can't lose my mind yet because I will not make it till Memorial Day if I'm already losing my mind in April. But like, this is, I mean, to be fair, you know what? 40% of the rotation has been hurt. You've lost a lot of guys from the starting rotation or starting lineup. Sorry. You got some guys coming back. Moncada's in the minors. Joe Kelly is coming back up, but yeah, this is, especially they started 6-2, and it was like, this is the first time they've been 6-2 since guess when? 05. Everybody was all excited about that. And then here we are a couple weeks later and everybody's ready to basically, I've seen people calling to like start the rebuild again.
That's out of
control. Insanity. Like, that just is
sell the team, you know, just
be sellers at the deadline, blow it up. Like, that's just, if this team sells at the deadline, I might quit baseball. Like, I don't think
they can sell at the deadline, right?
No, that would be no, of course not. But like, could you imagine?
Yeah.
That, like, the fan GMs, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to criticize people too much, but like, I don't know how people can react like that. And I have my eyes closed on the video here, but like, I don't know how people can react like that in April and May and expect to survive through September.
I don't know how they keep that in. They just transfer the energy somewhere. I don't know how they do it.
It can't be good for you.
Yeah. I never get that. Even when like with the Cubs were a contending team and they were blowing, you know, a couple game leads and those and ended up in wild card games. I think we can go back to film, as they say, on a draft weekend of sorts. I never really lost my cool. I just was like the parent that wasn't mad, just disappointed, you know? I think that's the only thing you can do to stay sane in a 162 game season.
And now time is a flat circle and we're basically doing it the other way around.
You know, we didn't think we'd be on this long enough to see the White Sox actually have high expectations and not meet them.
Yeah, it's tough. Last year, at least they didn't meet them at the end of the year, but you at least got it off at the start. So you weren't like freaking out. You know, you go on a 7-game losing streak in July, it's like, okay, whatever. But April's not pretty.
Yeah, they're getting it out of the way. Let's be
Tony. Tony knows what he's doing. He's going to figure it all out. It's going to be great. He knows not to pitch to Buxton with the base open anymore. We're good.
Okay, good. All right. At least, hey, that's a good mistake to make in April, not in October. Okay.
Yeah. Oh God, could you imagine?
Anywho, we're going to hop to the Cubs here. I'm actually disappointed about a 2-win week. But with that being said, it was against two very good teams in the defending champion Braves. That's still kind of weird to say. It doesn't feel like they've won it. It's kind of like the Dodgers winning their 60-game Mickey Mouse World Series. And we'll talk about the Dodgers in a minute. But also, and then a 3-game set against the Milwaukee Brewers. So they went 2-4 as well. Tuesday was a 3-1 loss. And you'll see that one in the loss column as a theme for the week. They did win the next game Wednesday, 6-3. That was in 10 innings. Patrick Wisdom pretty much sealed the deal with a 2-run homer in the 10th inning, so that was nice to see. Thursday, a 5-1 loss in the rubber match, so again, only scoring 1 run in that game. And then Friday, they're in Milwaukee. I was contemplating going up for one of these games, but I thankfully changed my mind. Friday was an 11-1 loss, so 1 run again scored in that one. Saturday, no better, 9-1 loss. And Sunday, to avoid a at least to keep pace with the White Sox, if you will, they did get a 2-0 win. Wisdom with a 2-run or with a homer, and Seiya Suzuki with a double to score a run as well. So Wisdom with the 2 homers that led to 2 wins essentially. Stroman finally doing what he's supposed to do, or what they at least signed him to do. He went 7 innings pitched, gave up only 2 hits, no runs in 90 pitches, outdueling Corbin Burns again. So the Cubs are 2-0 against Corbin Burns, shockingly enough, but can't get it done again. Yeah, exactly. So that leaves the Cubs at 9-13. But that because the NL Central and the Brewers are off to such a hot start right now, that puts them 5.5 back, and that you're borderline on that you can't win a division saying in April, but you can lose one in April. 5.5 back is certainly overcomable, but it's not what you want to see 1 month into the season. It's not helping that the White Sox and the Dodgers are also coming to town next week. So this could get pretty ugly pretty fast, which kind of leads me into what I really wanted to talk about, which is the fact that it is May, and we'll have some certain thoughts about this as well. And this is my plea to the Cubs. It's no longer just cool that baseball is back, right? Now you have to produce. We can't just like be in this euphoric state, especially because we've been without baseball. We weren't expecting baseball. We weren't expecting a full season. And the excitement of them being back, or baseball being back, is not enough now. Now it's time to actually produce, and this team simply just isn't doing it. Scoring, let me count on my hand here, just in general, 2 runs, another 3 is 5, plus another 3 is 8, 9 runs in a week. It's not going to do it, especially when you put up 21 in a game literally a couple days ago. It's pretty obvious that this roster is not contending style at the moment. And now it's May 1st, and I'm already looking at who we can get for Keegan Thompson and Wilson Contreras. Now, I'm not saying do it. I'm saying that the likelihood of it happening is rather high, and those are two probably highly touted, trade bait pieces. I don't want them to do it. I want them to be, even if they are a 78-win team, I want them to be a 78-win team and keep the team together, as opposed to being a 63-win team and blowing it up. I did the full rebuild. I'm over it. Yeah. We got the World Series. Now let's try to win it a different way. And it starts, I guess, May 2nd against the White Sox. What are your thoughts on May, Pat?
It's definitely the point where it's like, yeah, it's past, like, this is like around when Yermin started falling off a cliff in a horrific fashion last year. So it's about that time where like the fun April gimmicky stories go away. Like, you know, it seems like 5 years in a row back in the day, the Mariners were always good in April and then fell apart. But I agree with you. I think, you know, May is the time when you really got to start showing up. A lot of those guys that may have been hurt or off to slow starts, you know, based off the like, shorter spring training, getting banged up a little bit more, not having their timing down, especially on the hitting side, or pitchers not getting to go as far. Like, those excuses are starting to not be viable anymore because you've had now an entire month almost of actual games. So I'm completely on board with you that this is now the time when things start getting serious. Not that the games don't count, but like, you know, April's weird. It's always weird. All weird things always happen in April. The series, this will be a good barometer, I think, for one of the two teams in Chicago. Things are going to start getting ugly within the fan base. Probably on one side, it will be more of a, my side will probably be more of an implosion if we get swept in at Wrigley, but we'll see. I do feel the offense, though. The White Sox, so far this year, they've scored 69 runs. There are, I'm counting it up right now, 3 teams that have scored less than them, and that is the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers, thank God. And then you have the Cincinnati Reds. Those are the only teams that have scored less runs than the White Sox.
The 3-19 Cincinnati Reds, lest we forget.
The 3-19 Cincinnati Reds, who are actively trying to be bad, and their owner told the fans that if they don't like it, go do something else. And 2 other teams in the White Sox division. Like, that's just, oh, God.
Not a good look for anyone in any Central, if you will.
No, the Centrals need to be shut down.
Well, here's the thing, though, right? Central is going to have the worst weather. That's the only thing I'm giving it. They're going to, you know, Cubs have always heated up with the weather, at least a lot of their hitters, but none of those guys are on the team anymore. So who's to say? But I guess, I mean, that's all I want to bitch about, honestly. I still am so excited that baseball's back, and I'm going to be, you know, going to a ton of games this year. But I guess I want to be invested in the outcome of the games that I'm at, as opposed to just like, you know, having like a beer or two too many to enjoy the game, you know, because that's what happened last year. I was a part-time bleacher bum, and just, you know, just to be there, sit in the sun and watch some baseball and not care what happened. And I was at the game the other day when the Rays were playing, they were playing the Rays and getting kind of beat up on. Stroman had a bad game, and I felt that feeling coming back, like, oh, this team's so bad, I don't care if they lose. And that shouldn't be the case in April.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's like you said, you've been through the rebuild. Like, they blew it up last year, so, like, doing that 2 years in a row would just be horrendous. Like, I don't know. I just, like, is it the worst thing in the world if a team says, like, maybe we have the talent to win, like, 78 to 80 games and 12 teams make the playoffs, so let's just see what happens?
Seriously?
Like, that doesn't happen in professional sports anymore, and it's for the most part, and it sucks.
Yeah, like, no, they got too the numbers took over. Yeah, no, but seriously, I mean, like, it does make sense sometimes, but they've taken it too far, I think. And I just want to see, you know, it's not like these guys aren't trying super hard. It's just the talent's just, I don't think the talent is there. So
no, exactly. It's not that the players aren't, they're not like throwing games. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think we're both in agreement that we're tired of rebuilds, which is why when I see fans saying just blow the Sox up now, keep like Robert and Cease and everyone else can go, I'm like, just if I sit through a rebuild again, I don't know. I'm going to go.
Yeah. So those guys, so Greenland, the team could be ready when those guys are like 33 years old. No, thanks.
Hey, imagine all the prospects we could get for these guys right now.
Jesus. Anyway, moving on, because it's time to move on.
Thank God.
It's May. Cubs versus White Sox. We have two games the next couple days here. I think you said the Sox have one against the Angels first, right?
Yeah, they got Monday. A day game tomorrow on Monday before they head up north.
Gotcha. Yeah, head up north. I love that. I think they should make a tradition, honestly. Clear one train, and whatever team is traveling has to take the red line.
That would be funny.
But, like, you know that there's going to be somehow, even if they clear the train, there's still going to be one guy walking in between the moving cars, telling people to be quiet and for their attention and just telling them how blessed they are. I think that's going to happen.
Dude, just pull the Christmas car out of the shed. Let them take that up there.
Yeah, I would love that. I think
that'd be funny.
Part of the Lightfoot re-election campaign, one of her promises.
Might be the only thing that could get it done.
Yeah, we'll see. But in any case, I guess my big question to you, Pat, is it even a big deal anymore? When I don't know, is it a big deal? It's only a big deal to one team at a time, I feel like, right?
Yeah, currently. I don't know. So, like, we've talked about this before, and I feel like I tend to have the same attitude every year. Like, I don't like, I'm not like the meatball. I hate, I like, God, I hate the Cubs, all this and that. Wrigley's a rat infested mess or whatever. Like,
can confirm rats. There was many that ran over my feet.
Like, I'm not
out of the ivy. Yeah.
Like, I'm not Hawk Harrelson going on TV saying how I'm never stepping foot in that stadium again. Like, but I like, there's something about it. It's just, no matter what it's like every year, like, it may not be the same. Like, if the Sox suck and the Cubs are good, like, or vice versa, it's harder to get as invested in it. But it's still like a fun event. Like, when I saw this year on the calendar, fully expecting the White Sox to be a contender and the Cubs to be, you know, not a contender, not just one knot.
Right.
Stuttered there. Yeah. Just making sure we're clear. One knot. Yeah. Now I've said about six of them. When I saw that was Saturday, Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, I would be lying if I said I wasn't excited for that. Like, I don't know. It's not as big of a deal as like people hype it up to be, you know, in terms of the actual importance of the baseball, but it's a fun. If you treat it the right way, like where you're not like getting way too invested into it, it's kind of a fun, like, I don't even want to say bragging rights, but it's just kind of like a nice friendly kind of thing going on in the middle of the season. The 2-2, I don't like this weird, like, two game series is split up makes it weirder. They should just play the 2-2 back to back and then just, or 3-3 and that be it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the 2-2 is weird. I don't like the idea of the tie in baseball. No. I love it. Love it in my soccer, of course, but then I guess if it's a tie, I don't like that last year gets it. I want run differential, you know?
Something so you have some team trying to run up the score in the last game.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be important. I don't know. I think there's needed to be more at stake for me to get more excited about it. I guess I'm just kind of bitter because my team's not the better team. Yeah. But I also love I know Sox fans were really into it because when the Cubs were really good, like the Sox were always beating them in these, you know, crosstown series. So I guess
it's like the Super Bowl those years.
Yeah, no, seriously. So it's like it's playing the role of spoiler, but again, like I think it only is – I won't say it's a one-way street. I think the meatballs will care about what's going on with the other team more often than not. But I do see Sox fans scoreboard checking Cubs games that are irrelevant seemingly more often, or at least they're just louder about talking.
This is – deja vu. I had this exact same conversation yesterday at a family party. And it was kind of like one of my uncles and cousins that are Cubs fans were like, you know, why are Sox fans – like, why does this happen? I'm like, it's – it's the whole, like, I don't want to call it little brother complex because that would be insulting myself, but like, it's the whole, like, when the Cubs win, it's the whole city's in blue and red. Everybody's going on. They're on TV, the lovable losers, all this. When the White Sox win in 05, it's like, oh, that's neat. Like they're having their little moment. So it's like just this inherent, like basically bred into you of like this, your team does not matter as much. It's like the Mets in New York. It's like, you're basically just constantly, I don't really want to get into this rabbit hole, but you know, I was about to start saying how the media is feeding you this image of it, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like you're basically told. So then it's like, you take every little thing as like, oh, like this, that, or the other. I don't know. I don't get as much like that. Unless somebody makes an attendance joke, then I will be apt to fire back. But
so here's the thing, right? Yeah. This is the exact rant I was trying to induce. So pats on my back. I did it. But I'm going to go at the attendance thing for 1 second.
Oh, cool.
And I'm not talking about White Sox attendance. I'm talking about how the White Sox home opener, like out, I guess it had more attendance than the Cubs home opener. And that stat was getting shot out like crazy. Like I saw it from like 15 different Twitters. And if you look, like the Sox had like a 70 degree game and the Cubs, it was like pouring rain.
Into these numbers.
Exactly. So, but then you look at like the Sox game attendance now, and it's besides on a Sunday, it's completely empty. And the Cubs, they're doing okay. They're not doing good by Cubs standards. They're doing okay. Can we just be done with the attendance thing?
Yes.
Because like, it's just so easy to cherry pick like when your stadium looks better.
It's like, that. And it's like, there's so many other, like, I remember it's like in past years, it was like, there would be like a Tuesday game in April against the Rays. And the Sox are bad and it's 20 degrees out and it's a 1 o'clock Tuesday game. And there's chirping about the attendance. I'm like, do you want to go to that game? Like, I don't want to go to that game. I go to a ton of games. The attendance, it's just so dumb because it's just, there's so, like you said, it's the weather, it's this, it's that. It's the dumbest thing to like actually, like for the people that actually use that as an insult point, it is like the just, I don't even want to call it low hanging fruit. It's just, it's pointless.
I think it automatically indicates you as a meatball that I don't feel like debating anymore.
No, it has nothing to do. Like, if you want to say, like, oh, like something about like some meatball-y take about it, the team on the field, like whatever, like this or that or whatever. But like attendance is just like, so it's just lazy, I think is the best way I can put it. Like, it's just such a dumb thing.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on from that, I wanted your take on Cubs versus White Sox. I think anything short of a White Sox sweep makes Sox Twitter implode.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
100%. So if we lose tomorrow, it's going to be bad. Not tomorrow, Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow after this is released.
Yeah. So I would like to steal a win for sure, just to keep it interesting. But in any case, and then the Cubs have the Dodgers after that. So it looks like we're looking at another 2 to 3 win week, maybe, hopefully, you know, but we'll see how that goes. I just wanted to get your takes on Cubs versus White Sox as it comes in. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about from your experience is tomorrow. So when people are listening to this, if they do at all, I will be attending the Marlins Diamondbacks game at Marlins Stadium. You've been there. I need some tips. I need what you got. Where should I go? What should I eat?
So I heard a lot of bad things about Marlins Park. You know, not a lot of people go to the games, which is attendance. Here we are again. It's fair. I genuinely enjoyed my experience at that park. It was like a Wednesday night game between the Rockies and the Marlins. And I didn't even, you know, you get to see Avi. So, you know, they're number one. But you like – the Marlins, I don't know, as a team in general, it's a fun team. You're going to have like Jazz Chisholm out there. Soler's like hitting balls to the freaking back of the stadium. So here's what I would say about that stadium. The food I got the one thing I didn't get there that I wanted to, but I couldn't because I knew I would like it better than the Sox one is a Cuban sandwich. Cause like, I just don't want to ruin that image of the White Sox being like this stable when I know the Miami one is going to be much better.
Cause it will be. And I'm tempted to get it, but I was looking up like the food choices they have there, and they have this thing called the Salchi Papa. Ooh. I said it that way on purpose, but like it's called like the Salchi Papa. Basically, it's like fries, cut up hot dogs, beef, ooh, like sauce, and like elote all in one. I'm so in on that.
Dude, I got sushi when
it's in section 8. I know I'm going there. Not like the housing, but that's how I'm remembering it, you know.
Oh god. Yeah, I got when I went, what did I eat? I got sushi when I was there. And then
it's wild.
That's the thing is like I never seen sushi at a baseball stadium. It has probably nothing to do with Miami, but I saw it at Stan. Like I gotta have it. Like,
did they give you chopsticks too?
Oh yeah.
Or were they little marlins? You know, like with the
swordfish. Yeah. Dude, it was like the chopsticks. It was basically like I got it at Mariano's, where it comes with like a little soy sauce packet next to it. But it was like, where else am I gonna be able to get this? I got some sort of sandwich there as well. I don't remember exactly what it is. But the thing I would say like that I liked about that stadium is that it played like, obviously I'm not a native of the area, so maybe I'm off base here, but like it played into the culture well. Like they have a Cafecito stand in center field that opens up like I think the sixth inning it was. So it's like a night game. They have this whole thing. They're playing music. Like the stand opens up, go get your late night coffee. They have like different It's not an actual club, but you know, like bar areas in the outfield where it's more like open space. It kind of plays into the like Miami vibe more than like, you know, just putting like a sports stadium in Miami. So I appreciate that one. That actually plays into the local culture a little bit. But yeah, I thought it was a good stadium. You know, it's empty. It's pretty cavernous when it's empty. I'll say that much, at least when there were like 2,000 people there. But yeah, I think it's a good spot to watch a game. They usually close the roof when it's too hot. But yeah, I think not in my top five, but you know, that's not necessarily a shot at it.
So shockingly, this is only the third MLB stadium I've ever been to, being Cubs, White Sox, and now Marlins Park. It's one of those things where it's like I'm such a baseball fan, but I have not ventured out to the parks. I was really close to driving up to Milwaukee, but kind of just didn't have the win for it today. But that would have been a great game to see, a 2-0 win, but here we are. So I guess you're welcome. But in any case, I'm super excited to go. I'm going to be 14th row right behind home plate. Ooh. Avi and Jorge will be in, I guess, earshot of me if I so choose. You know, I don't think I'm that guy. But, a Salchi Papa and a couple Modellas later, you never know.
Make sure to tell Avi that the artist formerly known as Avi316 sends his regards.
I certainly will. But in any case, back to Cubs and Sox. I just wanted to get your take on that. Player of the week. You don't think we forgot. I'll start, actually, just to, you know, lead into it. It's got to be Patrick Wisdom. Only because he had the two home runs that kind of sealed the deal in both the games that they won this week. He only went 5-for-22, don't get me wrong. But I just think that Patrick Wisdom is going to be like a 240 to 255 hitter anyway. But as long as he keeps hitting home runs, I'm super happy. I have his jersey, so that's why I'm super
happy. There you go. Now.
But it's stuff like that you need, especially in extra innings against the world champs. Yep. You got two wins against, and then you have, you know, Milwaukee against Corbin Burns. You know, he hits a home run too. So, like I said, those two hits sealed the deal, gave him two wins. So you get player of the week. I'm sure, a couple guys could be a little bit better off for it, but the offense didn't happen unless he was involved. So we have to give it to him.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, clutch hits. Don't need to look too deep into the numbers with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So who do you got for the White Sox?
I am giving it to Dallas Keuchel for trying his hardest and battling out there. No, I wish. I'm still sad about that because I spent money on his jersey. But someone I'm not.
But he complimented you personally on that
jersey. He did. I was too busy being a millennial on my phone to notice. Giving him the old thanks, man. But
it's almost better, though. I mean, we've talked about this on the show, but it's almost better that you're like, oh, thanks, bro. You know,
I guess it's a better story than like being like starstruck in the moment.
Right.
But I guess segueing into my actual pick, it's someone whose jersey I have that I am not upset about having, and that is Tim Anderson, who is really, like, at this point, the only guy that's consistently hitting on the team. not sure how much you've watched the Sox, but it seems like every at bat he comes up, he's hitting a base hit to the right side of the infield. And it's just like a thing of beauty. It's just, it's taking the ball the other way, probably sacrificing some of his power, but like, you know, he's hitting 333 on the year. He's the only guy in the AL to hit over 300 in the last three seasons overall. But on the week, why he was the player of the week, he had 9 total hits, which was the most on the team by far. He led things off on Saturday with that solo shot to really get things going. And in their 2 wins, he was 4-for-7 with 4 runs scored. Like, the team is struggling to hit. They're going into, I think it was yesterday, they had a 190 batting average against right-handed pitchers. Like, absolutely awful. Cannot hit anything. And it pretty much comes down to a guy like Tim Anderson really being, you know, the lifeblood of the team. Even though he struggled on defense, like, when he hits, it's infectious. The rest of the team gets going. Even on Friday when they lost, you know, he hit a leadoff double and came around to score, and he had another hit, and that was 2 of their 3 hits. So really not much else outside of Andrew Vaughn, you know, hitting for power, getting it done, but now he's hurt with a hit by pitch on his hand. So I think just it's really underscoring how incredibly vital Tim Anderson is to this team. That even in a week when they struggle to get to 2-4, he was an extremely large part of both of those wins, and basically the only consistent part of the offense thus far.
Yeah, so I've picked Tim Anderson like 5 times in Beat the Streak, and it might be the 5 games this year he did not get a hit. He has yet to get a hit for me. So I'm out on him, dude. I'm out.
It's like when it rains, it pours. It's like he's like 9 hits, and he had a 3-hit game and I think 2 2-hit games. Yeah. And like, it's just like, I don't know, it comes in bunches.
He gets in the zone, man. You just got to give it to him. Yeah, but I'm done picking him for a while. But yeah, I might go back to it.
If he gets hits when you don't pick him, just keep not picking him. Works for me.
All right, so let's make these next couple days a little interesting. And I don't know what – I guess you can – I'll let you decide what the punishment is or whatever. I'm not talking about wins. I'm going what we were talking about earlier, run differential, all right?
Okay.
With these 2 games at Wrigley, what happens to the loser? Give me something. Oh, I can – you know, I'm already buying a Johnny Cueto jersey, so there's nothing to be said about that.
Let's do this. We each have a varying degree of season ticket plans for our respective teams. The loser has to – well, no, this, I don't know, because I was going to say the loser has to, you know, buy – like bring the other person a game, but we're probably going to do that multiple times anyways. So
that's true. All right, so I'm doing a two-beer bet, run differential only, and lest we forget how expensive beers are at ball games. So 2 beers, and not only that, if it's given in can form, I have to open it for you, or you have to open it for me.
Okay, I like that.
So
that'll work for me.
Or even make it more interesting, you have to open all of each other's beer, open all of each other's beers for the.
So two purchased, the rest have to be opened by said person.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Pat, please open my beer.
What? Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'll take that. We got to figure out though how it carries over into the 2 games later in the month, but
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, well,
I'm in Miami for the Cubs Sox, so luckily I'll be able to watch it on my MLB TV.
That's true. How exciting. You're not blacked out.
Anyway, that is a talk for when Sam Norland is joining the show. But in any case, that concludes our episode of Shoeless Gold Podcast, and a damn good one, if I might say. You can listen to us on, obviously, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everything like that. But, of course, we have to end the show the way we always do. It is a question that Pat has not heard yet. Of course,
that wasn't the question.
Right. No, that wasn't. Yeah, no. The question is, who is your favorite player to play for both the Cubs and the White Sox?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's it. I like this one. This is a good one. I'm trying to think who.
While you're thinking, do you want me to listen?
Yeah. You go ahead. I need to think a little bit because I have some options I could go with.
I have many options. This one was hard for me. I really passed up on a lot of guys. Giovanni Soto. I didn't put Sammy Sosa on my list either, even though I love him. Wild card. Kenny Lofton. Played in 2003 for the Cubs and 2002 for the White Sox. My 2 honorable mentions, though, are Jeff Samardzija and a lot of people forget Ron Santo. Ron Santo was traded to the White Sox in 1974 for, do you know who, Pat?
I don't.
Steve Stone.
Oh, that was that trade.
Yeah. So, and it actually destroyed poor Ronnie. He did not want to go. But in any case, it put him in that great category. So not – and the answer no one was looking for is Jose Quintana. So I'm just going there. But
okay.
In any case, who do you got, Pat?
Yeah, time. I – So, like I said, there's a lot of good options here. If I want to go more recent, I could. I mean, Craig Kimbrell, I guess I could say, but that's not the answer. Ryan Tepera probably would be a more appropriate one. I guess Aloy and Dylan Cease don't count because they never played for the Cubs in the majors. I'm going to go with
Emilio Bonifacio or Deonor Navarro.
Joe, Jesus. You know what? I'm going to
keep
with,
going.
I'm going to go with the one member of that I can think of off the top of my head of the 05 White Sox to do, and that would be Neil Kotz.
Neil Kotz was written down on my sheet as well because he's an Illinois State Redbird.
Yeah,
so I got to love him for that. But in any case, that's a good answer. Obviously, he wasn't as good for the Cubs as he was for the White Sox, but it doesn't matter. That usually is how it goes with these two team players. But in any case, like I said, that concludes our episode. All I could say is I'm excited to be in Miami. I'm excited for my salchi papa. And I'm really excited for Cubs-White Sox now that we have beers on the line.
Yep.
Pat, thanks so much for going on the show today. And remember, everybody, it matters more now. Go Cubs, go White Sox, go MLB. And remember, Yadi Molina is not a Hall of Famer. Have a great week.